evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours, 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Sunday, September the 27th, 2015. You're listening to Studio 7 Live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this Sunday evening live from Washington. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Amongst our top stories this evening, President Robert Mugabe is expected to address the 70th session of the United Nations General Assembly in New York tomorrow.
I hope, as the current president of the African Union and the sitting president of Zimbabwe, I hope President Mugabe will develop or spell out what he wants or what he sees as the future of Africa in terms of economic development.
The Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions says most of the more than 20,000 workers who were fired without benefits recently, despite the introduction of a law stopping the layoffs, remain unpaid or without reinstatement. But employers say it's not true.
Our people are still outside the gates, offices or places where they used to work. Our people have not been recalled back, or our people have not been paid what the law requires them to be paid.
And cheap imports from China, Dubai and other nations are blamed for crippling Zimbabwe's once thriving clothing industry. And as usual, we give you the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo. President Robert Mugabe is expected to address the 70th session of the United Nations General Assembly in New York tomorrow. For the next 2 days, the summit will discuss the adoption of the post-2015 development agenda, followed by the general debate of the 70th session from the 28th of September to the 6th of October. Some Zimbabweans in the diaspora say they are looking forward to President Mugabe's address, but hope that he will not stick to his usual rhetoric of blaming the West and sanctions for the country's continued economic decline. For a perspective, I caught up with Dr. Moses Rumano, a professor at Mellon University in Ohio in the United States.
I hope, as the current president of the African Union and the sitting president of Zimbabwe, I hope President Mugabe will develop or spell out what he wants or what he sees as the future of Africa in terms of economic development.
As an academia yourself, do you see anything coming out of these big meetings like what we see happening right now at the United Nations General Assembly?
Yes, I see a lot of new things or new initiatives coming from there. If leaders would not use this as a cheap talk show where they could just speak other things that they could not follow through, but this can be the platform that can lay the basis for development for the future of Africa and Zimbabwe as well. And I hope the president will talk about what his plans are for economic development in the entire continent and more so in Zimbabwe, what he sees as the job creation mechanism that could be put in place for the nation that is struggling with the high unemployment rate.
President Mugabe is also here at the time that Pope Francis is also visiting the United States. What lessons do you think could be drawn from what we've had Pope Francis also articulating during his visit here?
The main message is unity and development and the tolerance and accepting other people, embrace diversity. Zimbabwe is a very small country, and I hope the message of unity should bring all people together, all Zimbabweans, and work for the good of our nation.
That was Dr. Moses Rumano, a professor at Mellon University in Ohio here in the United States. The Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions says most of the more than 20,000 workers who were fired without benefits, despite the introduction of a law stopping the layoffs, remain unpaid or without reinstatement. In a statement last week, the labor body says workers fired after the country's labor laws were amended have to be compensated or reinstated, or the ZCTU will seek legal recourse. Last month, there were reports that some of the affected workers were committing suicide because of the stress caused by losing their sources of livelihood. ZCTU Secretary General Japhet Moyo tells Chris Gande more.
Our people are still outside the gates, offices or places where they used to work. Our people have not been recalled back, or our people have not been paid what the law requires them to be paid. So it's an issue which we are discussing with our affiliates to find a way how best we can enforce this piece of legislation.
As we speak, are there people who are still losing their jobs?
Not what we are aware of. There are no new cases of whose contracts are being terminated on the basis of the judgment. So we are looking on those who have been affected by the judgment, or those who have been affected earlier. These are the people who are concentrating on now.
That was Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions Secretary General Japhet Moyo speaking with Chris Gande from Harare. Jonga Kandemiri reached out to the Employers' Confederations, John Mufukari, for reaction.
I am surprised that the ZCTU can come up with a statement like that, because employers are law-abiding citizens and they would never take a risk of being at loggerheads with the law. Employers will always obey the law.
What is the ZCTU talking about here?
I am sure what the ZCTU is talking about is the lack of capacity of some employers to comply with the law. Now, a lack of capacity is very, very different from a refusal to comply with the law, because it is evident, self-evident, that although the employer would like to pay, he cannot pay because those same workers had not been paid for a considerable number of time before they were terminated on notice. So it is strictly misrepresentation to say that the employer is not willing to comply with the law.
That was Employers Confederation of Zimbabwe Chief John Mufukari speaking with Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri. Cheap imports from China, Dubai and other nations are believed to have crippled Zimbabwe's once thriving clothing industry, which at its peak employed thousands of people. Apart from that, a large number of consumers have over the years expressed concern over the poor quality of some of the imports. As our correspondent Ivan Chifera reports, this is said to be a thing of the past, as a French company, Bureau Veritas, has been hired by the government to weed out cheap imports.
The French company is expected to start these inspections soon to ensure that all imports meet quality, safety, health and international environmental standards. Industry Minister Mike Bima says the move, which comes against concerns of an influx of cheap imports, is meant to enhance these standards.
It was observed that the substandard nature of the goods in terms of both technical and health standards imported into Zimbabwe continues to negatively impact on the implementation of the economic blueprint, ZIM asset, in particular, our growth and development agenda, the competitiveness of our local industries, hence the need to curb these substandard imports.
Under the program, Bureau Veritas will closely monitor the importation of various goods from production lines in various nations up to the end user in Zimbabwe. Imported goods are expected to conform to specific standards, resulting in the issuance of a certificate if they are verified to meet those requirements. All this will be done at the cost of the importer, and Bureau Veritas will pay the government 5% of the total fees charged. According to the Minister of Industry and Commerce, food and agriculture, building and civil engineering, packaging material, electrical and electronic appliances, body care, automotive and transportation, clothing and textile and engineering products are among the products that will be subject to verification before importation. By Zimbabwe Chief Economist Kipson Gundani says it's proper to monitor imports to avoid the dumping of substandard goods into the country.
We need to make sure that what is coming to the country is of right quality and also the right price, so that we avoid the dumping, we avoid the consumption of substandard goods and DCD.
He believes that government must set up its own mechanisms to monitor imports, as relying on foreign companies is too costly. Economic commentator Masimba Kuchera concurs.
I think in the long term, it's good for the consumer in terms of ensuring that Zimbabwe gets quality products. But unfortunately, from a cost implication side, we are aware that the government of Zimbabwe does not have any money. And that means that it will raise the cost of any products that are coming in, because government will pass the cost of paying this company to the consumers and the importers.
Rosemary Siachitema, director of the Consumer Council of Zimbabwe, which has always complained about substandard imports, says it's pleasing that government is finally taking steps to protect consumers by blocking the importation of substandard goods.
Poor standards have got an impact on consumers who use their hard-earned cash, and at the same time, sometimes the poor standards can actually lead to harming people's health, or they buy products which are supposed to have a certain specific lifespan and they do not.
Consumer Lynette Manzini disagrees, noting that while it's good to monitor imports, cheap products must be allowed into Zimbabwe, as most people can't buy expensive goods produced by local companies.
If they bring in fake Nike shoes, everybody can afford them. But if they bring the original Nike shoes, not everybody can afford them. So now we're saying the rich are only going to wear, you know, are going to be able to access products, and us, the poor ones, will not have anything. Cheap imports are not for everyone. It depends with the amount of money someone has. That's what leads me to go to cheap imports.
Kuchera says this is unfortunate and reflects the kind of helplessness that has been brought by the ailing economy.
Unfortunately, it's a sign of the times that people are now reducing themselves to buying cheap imports because the economy is not functional. But under normal circumstances, I'm sure that cheap imports should not be welcome at all.
Vusisa Moyo, president of the Confederation of Zimbabwe Industries, says they fully support the imports monitoring program, as it would make Zimbabwe products competitive.
We are for the idea, we are for the concept, and we also, as a Confederation of Zimbabwe Industries, would like to lend you our full support, our full cooperation, and to work this program out.
Beru Veritas contract runs for 4 years, after which the Zimbabwe Standards Regulatory Authority, currently being formulated, will take over. Treasury reported recently that the country's import bill, which stood at 3 billion last year, will reach 3.5 billion this year, with cheap imports being among some goods being dumped by some nations into Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe also banned the importation of old clothes and shoes, saying some of these goods are not properly decontaminated before being used by local people. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
This is Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. We're going out to you on the 4930, 4940, and 15455 shortwave frequencies, and on the 909 medium wave or AM frequency. Coming up, the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues. This past weekend, the Shoko Festival roared into Harare, showcasing so many artists and talents from different countries, including Zimbabwe itself. But there was the Shoko Hub Awards, which focus on young people in the country. Today, I'm joined by Nick Monroe, a.k.a. Dixon, who is one of the organizers of the Shoko Fest Hub Awards. Nick, thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, how are you?
Tell me more about the Hub Awards that happened this year at Shoko Fest.
So Shoko Festival is in its fourth year, and the Hub Awards, or the Huban Conference and Awards, are in their second year properly. The awards essentially are a celebration of youth involved in new media and citizen journalism in an aim to open up democratic space in Zimbabwe. We see the youth as having huge potential in influencing decision makers and interacting with decision makers through citizen engagement. And we see the online and offline space as a fantastic arena for them to campaign for justice, for social justice in our communities.
And what did you see coming from the young people that were represented in this year's awards?
We saw a whole range of things, from environmental issues being addressed, other social justice issues being addressed, issues on health, issues on disability, issues on the imbalance of power in the country, and coming up with creative solutions to address that. And it was extremely powerful to see this this potential, not just being potential, but actually being turned into action, where these youth are coming forward with ideas that truly will change the shape of Zimbabwean media and wider society.
And how does something like the Hub Awards help these young people cultivate their ideas and move them forward?
I think one of the main things, we've had a lot of events in the past, but also to incentivize creativity, to incentivize and encourage through mentorship after the process, to make sure that they see something out of it, that they can see it as something entrepreneurial, where they can affect change, but at the same time, there's something that can go towards their project financially.
And how can these young people, I know this year's Hub Awards are over, but how can they get in touch with you guys for any help or even looking forward to next year's Hub Awards?
If they follow us on Twitter, at Shoko Festival, like us on Facebook, Shoko Festival, they can just drop us a message and get in touch.
Aside from the Hub Awards, the Shoko Festival itself held comedians, musical artists, and poets throughout the weekend. I spoke to Tafazwa Sharaunga. Tell me more about some of the acts that were featured this year at the Shoko Fest.
We started with very, very nice comedy from Zambezi News. We had comedy from Tomo from South Africa. And then he was supported by Long John and Andrew Manyika from Zimbabwe. And then after that, there was musical performances by Usi from South Africa, including local acts such as Sana, Shinso, Noble Styles.
We know you had the Hub Awards, but what are some of the other programs you had geared toward the arts, in particular with young people?
There was a music program going on from hip-hop breakdown theater, which was inspired by William Shakespeare's play, Romeo and Juliet. It was done by Jimmy Liga, and there was Rap City, which is hip-hop music, and from around the city of Harare.
And your theme this year was Hear Your City. What was the point behind that? What does that theme mean?
Hear Your City as a theme is a call to the people to just step back, try to embrace every city in Zimbabwe and some international cities. And you see that this year we have people from Mutare, we have people from Bulawayo, we have people from Masvingo, we have people from Harare representing Zimbabwe. And then there's a lot of international people coming here as well. So it's just that call for people to just step back and listen to the sound of the city as they reverberate.
So hence, there's a firm representation of music cultures across Zimbabwe and across the world.
Thanks again to Tafazwa Sharaunga, and you also heard earlier from Nick Monroe, both the organizers of the Shoko Fest, for joining me today on the Youth Forum. This is Tatenda Gumbo, and as usual, make sure you join me next week. Eternity.
That there was the music of Selma Mutukudzi with Nguva Yangu. Now to recap on today's top stories. President Robert Mugabe is expected to address the 70th session of the United Nations General Assembly in New York tomorrow. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington. Wishing you a pleasant evening, a very good night, and a great week ahead.